Exodus chapter 14, verse 21. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, troubled the host of the Egyptians, took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. If you turn to John chapter 8. St. John chapter 8. Verse 34. John chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." I want to preach to you this morning on being free indeed. You may be seated. I'm glad this morning that you can be free indeed. Because whom the Son sets free, they are free indeed. You know, there was a saying by Socrates, the wise man of the Greeks, and his saying was, "Know thyself." And that's really important, to know thyself. But there's something more important than knowing thyself, and that is knowing God. For the Bible tells us that this is what salvation consists of. Jesus said that this is salvation. This is being saved. Knowing the Lord, knowing God, and knowing His Son, Jesus Christ. This is eternal life, Jesus said. So being personally acquainted with God, living in Him, He living in us, that is what eternal life is all about. But we need to not only know God, we do need to know ourselves. And the Scriptures tell us about ourselves. Really, there's different ideas in the world about what man is. Some men think that we're just an animal, further developed, a higher spot on the evolutionary scale. So we're no different from a monkey, a dog, or a pig. We're just higher on the evolutionary scale. And so when we die, it's just like a pig dying, a cow dying. There's no consequences beyond death because we're just an animal, a species of an animal, just a little higher on the scale. So people have different ideas about what a man is. And the Bible is where we get our information about what a man is. And the Bible teaches us that he is the creature of the hand of God. God made him in his image and his likeness. Put him in the Garden of Eden. He was so pleased he saw that everything he made was very good, including man. But when man sinned against God, something happened in his nature. The Bible tells us that he became a servant of sin. That was something inserted in his nature called carnality, the flesh, and sin nature that began to control his life. You see, Satan told Eve, God knows in the day that you eat of this, you will become like God, knowing good and evil. Now, she only knew good before that time, but after eating that fruit, certainly came to pass what Satan said. She became acquainted not only with good, but with evil as well. She had disobeyed God. But Satan did not tell her the whole story. He did not tell her that even though she would know what is good, she couldn't do what was good. And even though that she would know what is evil, she couldn't avoid it any longer, because the poison of sin had become infected her heart and her soul. She passed down that poison on to her descendants, so that every one of us were born in sin. All of us were born with the poisoned nature. All of us had the sin nature that inclined us to evil. The Bible says, because by one man, Romans chapter 5, by one man, sin entered into the world. By one man's disobedience, all men were constituted sinners. That is, we became by nature sinners. By nature and by choice, we were sinners. The Bible says, because of that nature that inclined us to sin, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't come into this world neutral. We don't come into this world sitting on the fence and we can fall either way. We come into this world inclined to sin. That's the reason that all sin and come short of the glory of God. Some people taught me in school. They said, man is a neutral creature, and what corrupts him is society. So if you take a man, he's born into the world, then you put him in the right environment, then he'll do good. But I'm telling you, it's more than an environmental problem. It's a heart problem. And this is the problem that God points out to us in the Word, is that man's problem is a heart problem. And God puts his finger on our need. He says it's your heart. It's not your environment. It's your heart. Put a man in the right environment, but he'll still do evil because evil's in his heart. He's a fallen creature. He's poisoned. He has a fallen nature. He has a fleshly nature, a carnal nature. He has a nature that's inclined unto sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, when Jesus went to the cross and died upon the cross, Jesus dealt with not just the sins that we had committed, but he dealt with the nature that drove us into that sin. You see, the cross dealt with man's problem, and his problem was sin. Jesus taught us, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. He's a slave. He's in bondage. There's something got a hold in his life. There's a force acting in his soul. There's something driving him to evil. Hey, the Bible says that the wicked go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. You know why they speak lies? Because that nature in them is the nature of the devil. Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he's the father of lies. So the wicked go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies, because the nature of the devil is in them, and they do the things that the devil tells them to do. They're taking orders from their father. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. His nature is in you. The lust of your father, you will do. That's the poison that's in the heart of men. It is the nature of the devil in them. It's called carnality. It's called sin nature. It's called the flesh nature in man. When Jesus went to the cross and died, he did not just die to take away the guilt of your sins. For some people, that's all salvation is. That's all they're interested in, is getting a ticket to heaven, cleared for heaven by the forgiveness of their sins. But Jesus did not just go to the cross to forgive you of your sins. He went to the cross to remake you, make you a new creature, give you a new nature, take out of you that old nature and put a brand new nature in you. He went to the cross to make you a brand new person. He went to the cross to change your nature from being inclined to sin to being inclined to righteousness. So when Jesus went to the cross and obeyed His Father, He changed our nature to such an extent that where we once were constituted sinners and we sinned because we were by nature sinners, He constituted us righteous so that we do those things that please God because it's our nature to do it. Hey, that's what Jesus did for us upon the cross of Calvary. Jesus said, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. You know, we thought we'd done away with slavery in this world, but I'm telling you, most everybody you know is a slave. Yes, sir. Most everybody you know is a slave because whosoever committed sin is the servant of the slave of sin. You find a man that it becomes concerned about his sins. He decides he's going to do better. So, in a few months, guess what's going to happen all across this country? Men are going to determine to turn over a new leaf. They're going to make New Year's resolutions. I'm going to do better. I'm going to quit running around on my wife. I'm going to quit watching this pornography. I'm going to start going to church every time. I'm going to, turn over this new leaf. I'm going to start doing better. Every year they do it. Every year they turn over a new leaf. Every year they just start to do better. But they find themselves frustrated because there's something inside of them that keeps dragging them down. You see, this nature inside of them is a nature that drags you down. Oh, hallelujah. There's somebody trying to pull you up. Jesus Christ is trying to pull you up, and this sin nature is trying to drag you down. It's a downward pull on your soul. And when Jesus went to the cross, He didn't just die to sweep the spider web out of the corner. He died to kill the spider that made the web. You understand? If you just sweep the web out of the corner, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get another web. So when Jesus went to the cross, He didn't just die to forgive you of your sins. He died to kill what was in you that was dragging you into your sins. Jesus not only said, I'm going to pardon you, He says, I'm going to purify you. I'm not just going to forgive you, I'm going to sanctify you. I'm going to purge your conscience and purge your heart and put to death what's in you that's causing you to go into sin. Listen, we live in a day, brother and sister, when how many times have we seen people come to the altar and pray, last a few weeks, and gone? It's happening all over this country. Because somehow we have lost sight of who we are. And when we lose sight of who we are, the description that God gives us in His Word of who we are, we lose sight of our need if we don't know who we are. If we fail to realize that there's something nasty inside of us, something deadly inside of us, a nature that tends toward sin. If we do not understand who we are in a biblical sense, we fail to realize what our need is from God. But Jesus Christ knew us and knew what we needed. And when He went to the cross, He died. Listen now. Whom the Son sets free, they are what? Free indeed. This is why Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross to set you free. To set you free from that master of sin. To set you free from that nature that inclines you to evil. He died to set you free. He said, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. But Jesus went to the cross to free you and make you a free man in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, this is the children of Israel. Look at the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. They've been in bondage for 400 years. All they know is the life of a slave. And God heard the cry of an oppressed people and sent Moses down into Egypt to get those people and bring them out of Egyptian bondage. God worked through the plagues 10 tremendous miracles. Jesus shook the land of Egypt. And finally, through the blood of the Passover lamb, God brought them out of Egyptian bondage. Pharaoh said, I'm going to let you go. They picked up their clothing. They picked up their what few items they had as slaves. And they started marching toward the promised land. And they were not just aimlessly marching. The Bible says God gave them directions. He gave them a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. These people were being led to the promised land. They marched through the wilderness a few days. Somebody told Pharaoh, these people are fleeing. Pharaoh changed his mind. I'm going after them. So he got his army together and he began to pursue after the children of Israel. The children of Israel looked behind them. They saw the army, the mightiest army on the face of the earth, coming after them. Pharaoh said, I'm sorry I let them go. These people are useful to me. They've built me 2 treasure cities. They have done so much for us in Egypt, I don't want to let them go. So he decided, I'll go get them. You know, Satan don't want to let you go. And sin don't want to let you go. Because you've done so much for the kingdom of Satan. By your life, by your words, by your deeds, you've helped Satan out. And he don't want to let you go. And so, when a soul comes to Jesus, Satan says, I don't like this. I want to see if I can't get that soul back. And so, here's Pharaoh pursuing after the children of Israel. They see him. They say to Moses, they're afraid. This is the mightiest army on the face of the earth. They don't have no weapons. They're not trained in warfare. And here's the mightiest army on the face of the earth after them. They say to Moses, why did you bring us out here in this wilderness to die? Didn't we tell you while we were down there to leave us alone, let us serve Pharaoh? Why, it said it'd be better for us to serve Pharaoh than to die out here in this wilderness. Now, y'all, I don't think like that. That is not the way I think. Some people had rather go back to sin than suffer a little inconvenience for Jesus Christ. And they're ready at the first sign of trouble to head right back where they came from. I don't think like that. I think there's some things worse than dying. You hear me? I said there's some things worse than dying. And servitude is worse than dying. And I don't have any intentions of going back to the servitude that I was under before Jesus set me free. I tell you, I believe I'd rather die than go back to that. And these people said, we'd rather go back than die. But I'd rather die than go back. And that's the kind of attitude that God wants in every one of our hearts. He wants us to understand that there's some things worse than death. And going back to Egypt's bondage is worse than dying. Oh, they said, we wish we'd just go back down there and die. Or be servants of the Pharaohs and die out here in the wilderness. They were milling around, disturbed. God told Moses, tell them to stand still. Calm down. And see the salvation of the Lord. Brother and sister, we all come to these places in life when it seems like there's no way of escape. We all come to these places in life when it seems like the devil's got us hemmed up. We all come to places in life where it seems like there's no answer. Our heart's disturbed. We are frightened. We are maybe even scared to death because of the situation that's come to us in life. But the Lord says, calm down. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. For the Lord is going to fight for you. And the Egyptian you've seen today, you'll see them no more. So, God caused a wind to come. And, am I right? Did I get this mixed up? He caused a wind to come and roll back the waters of the Red Sea. and made a dry path for the children of Israel. They marched across that Red Sea to the other side. And when Pharaoh and the Egyptian army saw it, they decided, we're going after them. So they went to that dry riverbed and through that path that God opened up and pursued after His people. But when the children of Israel got over on the other side, God caused the waters of the Red Sea to roll in and covered up the Egyptian army. And the children of Israel saw their enemies washed up on the shore dead. Hallelujah. So that Pharaoh died in the flood of the Red Sea. That man who was their enemy, that man who was their conqueror, that man who had held him in servitude, God rolled the waters of the Red Sea on him. He was gone forevermore. God said to them, the enemies you see today, you won't see them again. And God destroyed that man who had held him in bondage. I'm telling you, that's a picture of Calvary, brother. That Red Sea is a type of the red blood of Jesus Christ. And it's a type of Calvary where Jesus went and not only died for us, but took our old man and hung him upon that cross. And we died with him. Our old man died with him. Our sin nature died with him. Jesus put that sin nature to death upon the cross and said, now look, you don't have to worry about it anymore because it's been put to the cross. Crucified with Jesus, and the blood of Christ gives us the victory over that which once held us in bondage. There are a lot of people afraid. They're afraid that they're going to go back to what they once were into. And they live in fear of it. But I want to tell you, you don't have to be afraid because Jesus has won the victory for you. See how Schofield said, he said, after God saved him, he said he was walking down the street passing the old barries he used to go into. He said a fear would grip his heart. He wanted to cross the road and get away from it because he's afraid that he would be tempted to go back to the old life. And he said one day, God spoke to his heart about Daniel in the lion's den and said, just like God shut the mouths of the lions, God can give you victory over the old habits of the past. And I'm telling you, brother, God can protect you in the lion's den and give you such an experience with God that if you find yourself in the middle of temptation, there won't be anything inside of you that's answering the call from the world because God crucifies that old nature inside of you. And you can say like Jesus of old, that Satan comes and he has nothing in me. Nothing in me. God will purge and cleanse and sanctify you. I'm telling you, brother. Oh, listen to me. It is not enough for you to be taken out of the world, but the world's got to be taken out of you. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Here's the reason that people come to the altars, and before long they're gone. Because God can take you out of the world, but you've got to let God take the world out of you. So that you no longer desire to go back to those old haunts. You no longer desire to go back to those old habits. You no longer desire the things of the world, but you long for the things of God. This scripture kept coming to my mind as I was studying on this message this morning. Colossians chapter 3. He said, set your affections on things above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Hey, this is what we ought to be able to say. We are dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God. Our affections are set on things above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Hey, listen, brother. It's not, you don't have to twist somebody's arm to pray who's got a heart to pray. Mm-mm. You don't have to twist somebody's arm to go to church that loves God and loves the people of God and loves the house of God. You don't have to twist their arm to go. You don't have to twist somebody's arm to read the Bible when they love the author of the Bible. You don't have to twist somebody's arm to make them live right when it's in their heart to do right. They can say along with Jesus Christ, I delight to do thy will, O God. You don't have to twist a man's arm like that. That's the reason why the law is irrelevant, because God puts the law in our hearts. He transforms our hearts. He makes us so that we long and love to do what's right.
Brother Dilly, you know what I'm talking about? I believe you do, brother. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, yeah! Have you ever been there and done that? Experienced that in your life, and where Jesus does such a transforming work in your life? Hey, I remember as a young boy how God transformed my life. Teenager. That's supposed to happen to teenagers. I was a teenager. And one day, God had been dealing with my heart. I was having a rough time serving God. In high school, all the temptations of young people around me. Tough time. I was afraid I wasn't going to make it. I begged my mom and daddy to send me to a Christian school. I was afraid we'd move to a new area, and I was afraid if I went to that public school, I wouldn't make it. I was weak. I knew I was weak. I begged them, send me to a Christian school. They did. My mom and dad, bless their hearts. They didn't have no money, hardly. But they sacrificed to send me to that Christian school. But I'm going to tell you now, I'd have died and went to hell from that Christian school if God had not done something for me. But I remember how God began to deal with my heart. Made me aware you need something you don't have in your heart, in your life. And I remember going to the little church next door to our house where my dad pastored one night by myself. Walked to the altar in despair over my soul. And I said, God, I've got to have help. I don't think I'd prayed 5 minutes when the glory of God flooded my soul. I was just a little backward, quiet boy. Just loved to sit in the corner where nobody could notice me. God come down in that building that night. Just me and God. My soul was thrilled. I got up out of the altar and walked up and down the aisle. I'll never forget it. Walked up and down the aisle of that church with my hands in the air, tears streaming down my cheeks. God met me there, brother. I mean, God met me there. Almost every time I tell it, I break down and cry. It was such a tremendous work of God in my heart that night. I went to school the next day. I'm telling you, God made a change in me. The thing that bothered me the most, I reckon, was sports. And I know it's not wrong for guys to get out and play some ball and things of that nature, but, you know, it just had a hold on me. And I loved it better than I loved to eat. I'd just rather play ball than anything. And God did such a work on me that night. I went to school the next day, and I shot some ball with the fellas and, you know, played with them. But I knew there was something different about me. Praise God. It wasn't my master no more. I was free indeed. Hallelujah. I could take it or leave it. I could walk away from it and be happy. It didn't have a hold on me no more. And there was such a hunger in my heart for God. I'd find a place to pray at lunchtime. Go up on the mountain and seek God. Study my Bible. Come home. Find me a place to pray because I had a hunger in my heart to seek God. I was a teenager, and that's not supposed to happen to teenagers, but I'm telling you that the blood of Jesus Christ can make a difference. Even in teenagers. Oh, what a change God made in me. I remember my father-in-law, and I want Sister Judy to come to the piano. I remember my father-in-law telling about us as a young man, how he failed so often trying to live for God. Till one day he said, God, I'm quitting. I can't do it. I can't live right. And I'm just going to quit, give up, go back. And he said there was a little voice spoke to him and said, would you pray one more time? He said, God, I'll pray one more time. So he said he made his way back down through the pasture, to the backside of the pasture. Going to pray the last time. He said he knelt down, began to pray, thanking God He said, all of a sudden, God came in that little thicket. He felt the power of God. God did a cleansing work in him. When he got up by the altar, there's an altar in the woods that day. He said, I made up my mind. I was going to live for God and serve God all the days of my life. God changed his heart and changed his mind at that little altar in the woods on the backside of the pasture. I want to pray one more time. You know, I don't know, maybe somebody in this building here tonight or this morning that you've reached the place. You're such a failure. You know it. And you know that you've not done right. And you just feel like throwing up your hands and quitting. But I'm asking you, in the name of Jesus, pray again. Pray again. Give God a chance to touch your heart, cleanse it, sanctify it, kill the spider, and give you a brand new start on this journey. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ has provided for you on the cross of Calvary what you need to have a victorious life. And it's there for us this morning. If we'll come, the Bible says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon it. Claim it. Accept it by faith. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. You know, that means that you're not responsive to sin anymore, that which was once your master. You're not responsive to that anymore. It means that now you're responsive to God. You're dead unto sin. You're alive unto God. So that now you're responsive to the Lord. And Jesus can and will give you the victory this morning. Let's stand to our feet. Well, Sister Judy, sing. Is there someone in this building this morning? You feel like you need some help from God. The Lord is available to help you. Whom the Son sets free, they are free indeed. Are you free indeed this morning?